The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You're tuned into Tuesday's edition of the podcast where the racing comes from Fakenham and Southall. No Fuss Laughs, unfortunately, their card has been abandoned. And join us from 12:55 on Tuesday on Racing Radio with Gary Capel, Sean Quinn and Rory Delaghi in the studio for all of the action. But before that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on Tuesday's edition of the podcast is Luke Elder. How are you today, Luke?
Not too bad, Sam. Yourself?
Good. Yes, I'm fine, thank you. And I'm right in thinking it's your first podcast today.
First podcast, yeah.
Oh, very good then. Welcome along. As always, on the Tuesday podcast, we'll start with the Monday jury. What did you make of the weekend's racing?
It wasn't too bad, was it? It was maybe a little bit disappointing on the Saturday, but we had some fairly key pointers towards Cheltenham. None more so than Duvan.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's with Duvan we start on the Monday jury. Do you fancy anything against it in the Supreme Novices at this stage?
I've been of the thought for a long time this season that the Supreme Novices is a poor renewal this year. But in the past few weeks, my mind has been changed on that, with obviously Lamy's surge being impressive recently. Alvisio Vild's come out of absolutely nowhere, and Duvan with a bloodless display at the weekend. You could argue what he beat, of course, but in the way he did it, he just did it in the manner of a top-class horse. Obviously, he's taken the same route as Votor. He's going to go straight to the festival now, we've been told. But the way he did it on Saturday, you just think, what's going to get him off the bridle at Cheltenham? Obviously, Lamy Surge is probably going to be the main rival towards him for Barry Geraghty and Nicky Henderson. They haven't got the best record in the Supreme Novices themselves. But it does come back to the question, what's going to get Duvan off the bridle? Obviously, at Cheltenham, something is bound to come out of the woodwork and run beyond themselves. Silver Concord's also in there. Obviously, last year's champion bumper winner, Nichols Canyon, at more of a price. Obviously, he's a stable mate and maybe not likely to go to Cheltenham. Mm. But you do struggle to find something that does look as progressive and as classy as Duvan that they've showed this year.
Yeah, fair enough. And at 5-2 with us here at William Hill, is that your kind of price about him, or does he look a bit short for you?
Anti-post, probably not. Mm. I mean, we've still got a couple of months till the meeting itself. Anything can happen. He could walk out of his box tomorrow, step on a stone, and then suddenly he's been set back for a few weeks. So I'd be more inclined to back him on the day. You'd probably get a few offers around in their markets from most bookmakers, to be fair. But at 5-2 now, not really, no.
Okay, fair enough then. We'll move on then to another one of Saturday's winning horses. What chance would you give Tifa 2 in a race like the Neptune? Obviously, Duvan's favourite for this one as well at 9-2. Could you see Tifa 2 having a crack at the Neptune?
Possibly, and they're going to have to go more towards that way now because the way he won so impressively with Lizzie Kelly on board, he's pretty much put himself out of all handicaps in the foreseeable future. But the way he won, he really has put himself there as a Neptune contender. Obviously, you've got the likes of Parlour Games in that market as well, who won the Grade 1 Shallow. He's looked very progressive for John Ferguson. Shane's Hill also in there for the Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. I don't know about Shane's Hill. His jumping's been a little bit iffy in places. But back to Tifa 2, obviously winning a big handicap like that. Obviously, I think it was only 13 runners on the day. So it would hold him in good stead for the hustle and bustle of a Cheltenham race. But what route they go, it'll be interesting to see whether they stick to the novice route, whether they maybe even try and step out of novice company and go up to the world hurdle. We doubt he's a champion hurdle horse. That just seems preposterous to suggest that, but there's every chance he could possibly step up and trip. But the Neptune seems the more viable option. He'd still have to improve a little bit for me, so I'd like to see him one more time before Cheltenham, before I make my mind up on that. But I wouldn't begrudge it at the moment.
Okay, fair enough then. Next up, do you think Boulder Success could be a player in the Ryanair? He's a 12-1 shot at the time of recording. And again, there's some good horses at the head of this market as well, Luke.
Yeah, well, Dynasta's a favourite, obviously, last year's winner. But Boulder Success has done relatively little wrong this year. Obviously, he found 2 miles a bit too tough for him. But over 2.5, he looked well within himself when beating Fox Appeal and Humble probably didn't go on the ground, which is a fair enough excuse for him. But Border Success, you could argue, may not be a soft ground horse himself. He was the last year's 2 mile champion novice chaser, albeit swerving the Arkle at Cheltenham and going to Aintree. And there is the slight possibility that he might even do that this year and go towards maybe something like the Melling Chase at Aintree. But if he did go for the Ryanair, he'd surely have a huge chance. And what price is Border Success?
12-1.
12-1. That's the Ryanair. There could be worse bets, but I'd want it to be confirmed that he would go to Cheltenham first. Obviously, he hasn't got the best of records around. I think he's run there three times and fallen three times. So yeah, you'd have to take it with a pinch of salt, but the talent is there. He's obviously a fantastic chaser, and chasing's really made a man of him. So 12-1, it could be a fair enough price, but it does look like a tough race at Ryanair.
Okay, fair enough then. That's the chances of Border Success in the Ryanair. Next up, does Hawke's Point look a serious Grand National contender? All feels a bit early to be talking about the National, I suppose, but before Cheltenham. But he won very nicely at the weekend as well.
I was impressed with the way he jumped. And obviously, he travelled very well for a staying handicap chaser. The way he jumped, obviously, first time headgear, that really sort of seemed to perk him up a bit. He's obviously a strong stayer, as we found out on Saturday. It was on softer ground. Whether he'd really equate that at a higher level to softer ground, or to, on firmer ground, sorry, as we're likely to get at the Grand National. I'm still a bit sceptical about him. I'd want to see him do it again. Obviously, any horse can improve no amount for first-time headgear and then not really go on. We've seen it so many times with a hood. Obviously, it's a different type of headgear that he's been running, or he ran in the Classic Chase. But look, he did absolutely nothing wrong. He beat a strong enough field at Warwick at the weekend, so I'd be willing to give him a chance, but I again, it falls back to the T for two argument. I'd want to see him again in it.
Okay, fair enough then. And which other horses have been catching your eye of late? it's a wide question, that one, yeah, isn't it?
I'm going to be boring and go back to Duvan, really. He was very impressive at the weekend, but actually I'm going to spin back to one, a horse of David Pipe's called Balgarry, who ran a decent enough race, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, at Sandown, but he obviously made the return in the Ladbroke hurdle. I don't think he'd have an eye to Cheltenham. I think he's got bigger plans. My initial plan for him is the Imperial Cup. Obviously in the Ladbroke they rode him very forcefully, and this was off a long absence, so that was a weird way to ride him. He ran as if he needed the run as well. He was up there and ran respectably, and then just dropped away about two out, and he finished very tired. But he ran a good race at Sandown, and Tom Scudamore looked after him as well. So maybe, for me, he'd have an eye to the Imperial Cup. Obviously, the Pipe family have targeted that race for years. Obviously, you get the bonus as well for winning the Imperial Cup and any handicap at Cheltenham as well.
Yep, okay, fair enough then. And finally, just to wrap up the Monday jury, the last question, can you see Sprinter Sacra being beaten in the Clarence House?
This is the talking point of everyone, isn't it? Yeah. Sprinter Sacra.
Yeah, exactly.
We could talk about this till the cows come home, but possibly. I don't think it's the strongest field behind him, which is his saving grace, but if he is ready to go and he's back to anywhere near his best, then he really shouldn't be beaten in this. We've got the likes of Dodging Bullets, Summersby, Twin Lights in there, French Opera, Sizing Europe. On their day, maybe one of them would be good enough to beat him, and that's Sizing Europe, but he's getting a bit long in the tooth now. We have to also take into account that Nicky Henson has said that if the ground is really soft, which it looks like being at the moment, then the Sprinter Sacra may not run, which is completely understandable as well, coming back again from an absence and injury and a lot of scares about him. You'd have to side with caution on that, but I think shade of odds on now, it's getting a little bit short. It'd be a watching brief, and it'd be brilliant to see him back to his best and see hopefully one of the most exciting horses in our sport return to somewhere like he's shown us before. But it wouldn't be a betting proposition for me. It would just be watch the race for enjoyment.
Okay, fair enough. There we are then, the thoughts of Luke Elder on the Racing Post Monday jury. We'll move on then to take a little look now at three races from Tuesday's action. We've got two from Fakenham and one from Southall coming up to preview. The first of these is at 3:15 at Fakenham, extended 2 mile 7 furlong trip, class 4 contest with 8 runners down to go to post there. Who do you like the look of?
Destroyed Floyd is the top weight.
Who's the lesser of the evils?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's the more suitable question. Destroy Deployed had a good level of form in his earlier years, and he looked as if he was coming back to that at some point last season when making a decent enough chase debut. And again, things just haven't gone right for him at all. Tim Vaughan teams up with Richard Johnson once more in a mark of 120. If he runs near to anywhere he's shown previously, then he should be making light work of this field. But again, he is one that has been known to go off the boil quite a lot. Vision Decoeur is one that arrives in good form after a win at Fakenham. And before that, he was also third at Ferry House. That was his first run for a new yard at Fakenham last time out. He's only gone up £8 for that. So arriving in good form, which is more than can be said for a lot of his rivals here, the likes of Oliver's Hills, fallen and been pulled up in his last two starts, and the others aren't really all inspiring. I'd probably have to be boring and side with Vision Decoeur tomorrow, but Destroyer Deployed is one that I'd be definitely keeping an eye on.
Okay, there we go then. Vision Decoeur in that one, the 3:15 at Fakenham. Next up is the next race on the card from Fakenham at 3:50. This one, a handicap chase, ran over an extended 3-mile trip. Five runners will contest this one. And this looks a slightly better race, this one, Luke.
Yeah, I was actually quite happy when I saw this one. It sort of made...
At least you got something.
Yeah, something indeed. Master Rahim sure to be a short-priced favourite. Obviously carrying a £7 penalty for his win last week. Trafalgar's the one that interests me for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton, though. They've seemed to be eternally in good form. I can't remember them really being out of form this season so far. But he used to be with Nigel Twist and Davis, and he can go well fresh, so the break of 75 days isn't really a worry for me. The ground shouldn't be a problem either. And he jumps very, very well, but recent form would be a bit of a worry. He's sort of been scratching around and hasn't really gone on from what he showed earlier on in his career, but as an 8-year-old now, he is still very lightly raced. He's only ran 8 times, and that is because he's had a few injuries. But I still hold him as a better horse than sort of 120 rated, and I do think there's a lot of leniency in that handicap mark. However, the favourite obviously comes here in good form, but I'd be willing to take a chance on Trafalgar for Dan Skelton and Harry Skelton. I just think everything's sort of in his favour tomorrow, and if he can sort of get in front and set a good tempo, get into a rhythm, then he could be fairly hard to catch.
Okay, fair enough then. Trafalgar the pick for Luke in that one in Fakenham was 3:50. Next up, the final race on our podcast is at 1:45 over at Southall. This one is a mile handicap with 11 runners lining up for this one. Who gets the selection here?
It's more of a sentimental one here with the veteran of the field, General Tufto. Remember last season at some point he racked up too many seconds in a row, and it didn't look as if he was out of love with the game. He was sort of touring around with the jockey, but last time, lo and behold, he finally went through with it for Joey Haynes. He keeps the ride again tomorrow. I think he's only gone up a pound in the handicap as well. So with a horse like General Tufto, he used to be rated much higher than he is now. It could just be a confidence thing. He's finally got his head in front and won. If he can go forward from that, then you know he really could still have quite a lot in hand on the handicap. But Joey Haynes takes off a valuable £3, and as mentioned, he's only £1 higher. But there's a few in this field that are sort of going through what General Tufto was going through when he came second a while ago, obviously with that string of seconds. Sleet is probably the main one to note from that. His form, it's not inspiring with sort of where he's finished wise, because he's just finding it too hard to win. Obviously headgear's been put on, he has actually improved for that ironically, but he's just too many seconds and thirds behind beside his name for Michael Appleby. Luke Morris takes the ride, which is a huge bonus for any Michael Appleby horse or most horses in training as well, but I'd be willing to give General Tufto a chance and have the dangers of getting my fingers burnt.
Okay, there we go then. It's General Tufto in the 1:45. Could you remind us please then, Luke, of your three best selections for Tuesday's racing?
As the 1:45 at Southall, we got General Tufto. In the 3:50 at Fakenham, we have Trafalgar. And in the 3:15 at Fakenham, we have Vision Decoeur, but Destroy Deployed a big danger.
Okay, excellent. There we are, then, the thoughts of Luke Elder on Tuesday's action. And you'll hear it all live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:55 PM. Gary Capewell, Rory Delaghi and Sean Quinn in the studio for all the racing from Fakenham and Southall as well. Thank you very much for joining me today, Luke, and good luck with those bets.
Thank you very much. You too.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.